It's also the case that it's still very difficult for some critics and some writers to take seriously a world in which elves and dwarves and dragons exist. And so by making the stakes in fantasy be very, very high, you eliminate at least some of those problems. However, this also leads to one of the great flaws in fantasy writing. The critic Jack Zipe says that in fantasy, the small person is God. And you can see this in Bilbo, who's so important to the Hobbit, Frodo, the little Hobbit upon whom the fate of the world hangs, and in the other literature that we're going to discuss about how important the small and powerless become. That also means that fantasy ends up playing for very, very high stakes, almost impossibly high stakes. And that's one of the weaknesses of fantasy, because every fantasy book you pick up, well, at least just about every fantasy book you pick up, is about the fate of the world hangs upon the small thing that someone does. And, okay, well, it's not realistic, and neither are dwarves, and neither are dragons. But it's also problematic, because the world seems about to end just about every day if you read enough fantasy. So in fact, one of the things that you're going to see in the fantasy that I think is the very best, and that will be Ursula Le Guin and Robert Holdstock, two contemporary writers, that the fate of the world doesn't always hang on every action by their characters. But in any event, that kind of seriousness and the very large stakes of fantasy and the happy ending that go with it, all of those things are justified by Tolkien in his scholarship, particularly in this On Fairy Stories essay. And all subsequent critics, even if they've tried to wrench fantasy away from Tolkien, even if they've come at it from the most hardcore Marxist-Leninist point of view, have still had to deal with the fact that Tolkien defined the purposes of fantasy literature as recovery, escape, and consolation. For many, many, many readers of fantasy, even bad fantasy, even imitative fantasy, those three things are what they get out of their reading. Now, in the next lecture, we're going to examine Tolkien's very, very, very long shadow in the people who were either his imitators, such as Terry Brooks, and much what we would call derivative fantasy, but I'm going to at least try to take it seriously enough to see how it works and how it doesn't, and those who reacted strongly against Tolkien and tried to write the anti-Lord of the Rings. Most significantly, Stephen R. Donaldson, who writes the Chronicles of Thomas Covenant.
After listening to Lecture 9, a student posed this question to Professor Drought. Is epic usually used as a vehicle for nationalism? Let's listen to the professor's response.
Epic is usually thought of as tragedy. Beowulf is certainly interpreted as a tragedy. But in fact, epic is connected with things about fantasy that are a lot more problematic to a lot of critics. Epic is usually connected with national invention, with justification of national power, with the connections of language communities to political power. So, for example, in the 19th century, there was a very, very long cultural war fought about who were the real speakers of Deutsch, who were the real Germans. And this went on at the borders of Germany and Denmark and Germany and France and Germany and Russia. And it was about who are the real Germans. And the poem Beowulf plays a strong part in that because everyone's trying to claim Beowulf for themselves, for their linguistic community. That's kind of the ugly side of epic, that epic is about justifying national power and national greatness. The Serbian epics do that. Homer does that to a certain degree. Virgil very specifically does that. It's about why Rome deserves to have all the power. Well, because we're descended from Aeneas and so forth. And epic in England, Lachemann's Brut, which becomes the source for a lot of Arthurian material, is also about trying to give England an epic of its own. Tolkien himself said that he wanted a mythology for England. He didn't say he wanted an epic, and I think it's important to distinguish that.
This ends Lecture 9.